The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of the Passion is written in Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted, and they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. Those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for Palmerum Sunday and the Sunday of the Passion is based on both the Holy Gospel according to St. John, heard at the beginning of God's divine service, along with the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, which was proclaimed from the lectern. Up to 2 years after the Lord's birth, God's Holy Scripture reveals that the Magi came looking for the one who was born King of the Jews. They came to offer gifts and adoration to the newborn king, while Herod and all of Jerusalem were troubled. In so doing, the Magi had announced and made known through their inquiry of the King of the Jews that God had become a flesh and blood man. That the eternal God, who is without beginning or end, who had created all things out of nothing, that the eternal God had then become a real man in time and dwelt among his creation. And then in the second gospel text for today, it is Jerusalem herself that meets this king as he enters her gates. Some of those who had come to celebrate the feast of the Passover, having heard of Lazarus's resurrection, process to meet the Lord with palm branches in their hands. They rejoiced with loud hosannas. And they announced and made known to the whole city that Jesus, the Son of David, had entered the city of peace as the Prince of Peace. Not just any ordinary man, but the Blessed One, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the one who is the fleshly name of the Lord, the creative Word in flesh, come to dwell in His creation. In this event, in this entrance into the holy city, God secured for His Son a hidden triumph. And this is in the very city that only a few days later would call out for His blood to be spilled. Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and along the way He was met by those very ones for whom He rode. The sons and daughters of these stiff-necked and hard-hearted people. The people He had previously led out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and into their own promised land of freedom and deliverance. He was met by those who dwelt in temporary makeshift tents, those who awaited their true home in the house of the Lord. He was met with waving palm branches and songs of Hosanna, which is a song that is a prayer. It's a prayer that asks God to save them. At that moment, it was made clear God hears the prayers. He listens to the cries for mercy. But not just this, He not only listens, but He answers. He answers before they even ask. He answers before you even ask. He has granted before the request is made. He has descended before you, even before you think of ascending to Him. He goes before you, but not without you. He is Emmanuel, God with you. The Word made flesh, the Creator among His creation. Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and He rode with a singularity of mind and purpose. He rode not for Himself or His own honor and glory, but He rode to the glory of His Father and for the sake of the salvation of the world. He rode for you. Jesus rode with full knowledge of what lay ahead. He knew of the agony. He knew of His betrayal. He knew of His being forsaken for man's sake, for your sake. And He rode on despite it. He rode to His passion because of His compassion, the compassion where He saw His creation, part of Himself, that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus rode into Jerusalem where even the stones would cry out, Hosanna, if the people wouldn't have. But soon enough, the very walls, the very stones of that city, the very stone-hearted people would cry out with bloodthirsty cries to crucify Him. But this is where the prayers for God to save, this is how they would exactly be answered. Jesus rode into Jerusalem for you. a friend of sinners, your promised Redeemer King. He rode that all the lusts of your cold stone hearts might be redeemed, that they might be made anew, that they might be brought to turn in repentance, turned into hearts of faith, hearts of his flesh and not stone. Jesus rode that the lonely might find true companionship in the life lived in the Holy Trinity. He rode to seek and to save the lost in the wilderness of this wayward world. He rode that sinners might become saints, and that those sinned against might receive forgiveness and be brought to forgive those who sinned against them. He rode that all of your sinful desires, that all of the greed, pride, and lust, that those and the countless other sins would be taken onto himself and through him be destroyed, that you might be recreated and made anew through him, through repentant faith. Jesus rode to save the lost, to comfort the lonely, the despised and the forgotten. He rode for the sake of forgiving all of mankind, for the sake of redeeming and winning all back, to draw all men unto himself. And his intent remains the same as he still rides today. Jesus' ride reveals his design, the design of how God deals with his creation through paradoxes, through crosses, through the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Jesus rode once for all, but his ride into Jerusalem, to the gallows, to the barbarian cross, to his bloody death and crucifixion, is the one time in history which gives meaning and significance to all time. It fulfills the past and also fills the present and the future, for he fills all things. Jesus rode to his hour that the Son of Man would be glorified by the Father. He rode to the hour when the angel of death would take him as your substitute. He who knew no sin became sin for you. Counted as guilty, he is destroyed. Yet in that destruction is his glorification. This is the way he loves the world. He rides for you. He goes to the cross for you, that you might have life through him. He gets death over with for you. For the blood that stained the centurion's spear and saturated the ground of Golgotha is the very same blood that is promised to cover and wash you clean in the waters of holy baptism, as God's word is attached to that water. He has brought you into this, his ride, through your holy baptism, so that his ride to the cross is your ride to the cross, so that his crucifixion is your crucifixion, so that his death is your death, so that his victory over sin and its curse is now your victory through your connection to him, which is only by God-created faith alone. You go to your crosses, to your vocations, to your sorrow, beset with your sins upon others and others' sins upon you. But do not stop there. Do not wallow in the sin. For just as he did, ride on. By the grace of God, repent and ride on through his cross. The hour of his death is finished. And so your sins through him. He is risen, and so you are risen through him. Lose your life to gain it. Go the way of Christ's cross, the way of Jesus. For the cross of Christ Jesus is not only his glory, it is also your glory. You now live between the font and the altar. For the blood that stained the centurion's spear, that saturated the ground of Golgotha, that not only is attached to the waters of baptism, it's the same blood that fills the cup and paints the doorposts of your mouths, so that the angel of death passes you by. Rejoice, O Christian. Now is the judgment of this world. The lying prince who seduced you is cast out. His skull is crushed. He does not rule you. He cannot accuse you. The Lord Jesus, your King, has come. The one lifted up from the earth to draw all men unto himself has drawn you. He is your Lord, your King. He rules by grace, and he brings in himself salvation. His hidden triumph continues as he rides into your midst in lowly forms. Word, water, coming in simple bread and wine. He comes for you in his very body and blood, crucified and risen. Face this Holy Week not as a time to mourn for Christ, who is alive and reigns at his Father's right hand, but rather face this Holy Week as you have throughout the Lenten tide, as a time to mourn for your sins and yet to celebrate the great love of God that sent him to Jerusalem to earn the forgiveness of your sins. Ride on, Lord Jesus, ride on. Gather your people with you as you take death captive and conquer sin. For where you are, your people would be. He is your King, the Son of David, who has come for you. Save your people now. Hosanna in the highest. And he does. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.